I don't know if all of you guys were here last week, but we were just really honored and blessed to have Chris share his testimony and powerful of what God is doing. And if you didn't, Dale got it put online this week, so it's there if you want to listen to it. And I would advise that you do that because it was just awesome. But that stimulated some thoughts in me as Chris was sharing and things. And, you know, the thing that Chris kept saying was that God was still always there. Even in the midst of the roller coaster ride that he was on. And it just, I just began to think of, you know, the fact that, well, let me just ask you. Do you know for sure that God has a plan for your life? Well, if there's any confusion in that this morning, let me just remind you that emphatically Jeremiah 29 says that he does. He does. He's got a plan for our lives, you know. And he said, I know the plans that I have for you. And I got to thinking, you know, if Cindy wakes up in the morning, she says, got some plans for you today. You know, I kind of pay attention. And sometimes it's a honey-do list, you know. But most of the times, I know that when she says that they're good plans because she loves me. And the things that she wants me to do or get accomplished or we're going to do together, whatever, is usually comes out of a good heart. And I, you know, appreciate that. But that's God, his plans for us that he said so clearly that he has them for us is good plans. You know, he even gives us a little inkling of what they are, even in that scripture. He says that prosperity is there, that we'll not be harmed, to give us hope, a future, that we'd be able to talk to him, he'll hear us, we can seek him, we can find him, and that's just a start of the plan that he has for us. And as we go through the Bible, you can just find over and over again little things, little drops, if you will, of his plans for us, revealing those plans for us. But you know that the Bible says that we're his ambassador. Yeah. We're his ambassador. We're his representative. We're his promoter. And one of the ways that it says that we are that is that we're to be salt and light. Now we've jumped on darkness this morning, okay? But you think about Matthew 5:3 says you're salt, you're the salt of the earth. And it goes on to say, you're the light of the world. That's who we are. And when you think about what salt does to food, I mean, it just changes it completely. Have you ever had grits without salt? You know, if that's the case, and I can understand taking it and throwing it out in the street and letting you walk on it, because it. But you get the right amount of salt in grits, and that's some good stuff. I can remember several years back, a bunch of us guys, we were going to have a barbecue. We were going to barbecue a pig. And I worked with this guy at the time that made really good hash. And the saying is hoghead hash, okay? And that sounds gross, but that's what they did is they took the hoghead and boiled it and made, you know, kind of the base to make the hoghead hash, the hash. And he, you know, told me how to do all that and grind up, you put corn and grind up your onions and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And you put chicken in it, all a bunch of stuff. And he said, then you start with cayenne pepper. And you start putting a little bit in. And you stir it a little bit and you taste it. And it's really bitter. And you keep adding a little more. And you keep adding a little more till you finally get to that place that it goes from bitter to almost a little sweet taste, which is when it's good, you know. And that's when I think of, that story comes to mind when I think of we are the salt of this world. We're the flavor. We're to change the flavor of this world. It says we're also light, you know. And we talked about darkness this morning, but think about this. When you go in a room, and you flip off the lights and it's all dark. But if you stay there for a few minutes, you can see places that light is penetrating that darkness. Maybe the crack under the door, maybe there's a shadow, a beam coming through the window, whatever. But it has to go. And that's who he said. That's part of the plans that he has for us, that we are salt and light. We're to flavor our surroundings, the atmosphere, the things that we are, and we're to be light. We're to drive that darkness out. But what do we need to do in order for us to fulfill his plans for us? There's one thing that I feel like is probably one of the biggest things that we battle with. And it may not be an upfront battle because, you know, the obvious things, you know, you kind of deal with. But I believe one of the biggest things that we struggle with is believing that we are capable and worthy of fulfilling those plans. It's great to say he's got plans for our life, you know, and we, yes, yeah, I'm glad, that's good. But then all of a sudden, you mess up or you don't do something that maybe you should have done or not exactly right, and all of a sudden, the devil uses that to come against us, to make us feel that we're not worthy and we're not capable of completing the plans that he has for us. And that's a straight lie from hell. But it's still something that lots of times that we battle. I mean, those of us who have known Chris very long just have seen potential in that young man. And we've also seen it get stolen. But not anymore, right? Amen. And we've seen it in other people. We see potential, but for whatever reason, well, the Bible's clear. John 10:10, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to take it away from you. He comes to think that you're not able. He comes to think you're not capable of fulfilling the plans that God has for you. You know, maybe you've even had a prophet spoken over you that was, woo, yeah, that's good. But then there's something in the back of your mind that said, I can't ever be that. I can't ever do that. And that's the lie of the enemy then. This word thief, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, is kleptos. And it means embezzler and pilferer. Embezzlers to steal or misappropriate, and pilfer to steal, to take, to rip off, and to wipe. So the devil is coming to pilfer, to embezzle what God has already given you. And when we can realize that's where our battle is, and we can get sometimes out of our own self and say, hey, you know, hey, this is who God says we are. You know, we talk a lot about the identity, and Kim said something about identity this morning. Our identity in Christ is so, so important. It's who we are. It's who he made us to be. It's who he knitted us together to be, and he had the plans for us to fulfill. But sometimes as we go through life, we run into things that kind of blindsided us. Maybe we didn't handle right. Maybe we didn't, you know, and then it's like, okay, the devil's guns are loaded towards us. Because what he wants to do is make you think, You think God wanted you to be that, but look, you can't even do this. You can't even complete this. You can't even walk through that. Look at how you mess that up. And he steals the confidence that we have that we are worthy and capable of fulfilling the plans that God has for us. I think sometimes that we might not even look at it spiritually. We just kind of think, oh gosh, I can never do that, or I wasn't meant to do this, or, you know, I screwed that up, or whatever, you know. Instead of the fact that when God says that, it's there. It's there. It's there for the taking. to me, one of our weakest links in us walking in it and fulfilling it is believing that I am worthy to walk in the plans that God has for me. I'm capable of fulfilling what He's called me to do. And it just, it, like Chris said, then shame and guilt and stuff comes on you and it eats your lunch. It eats your lunch. And you just can't seem to get through it. But that's a mindset that's contrary to God's thinking, what He thinks of us. He knows us. He created us. Hey, He ought to know us, right? And when we will just allow Him to keep those words of encouragement coming, like this morning, it's so encouraging to hear these things that everybody's getting from the Lord. I think that's one of the reasons that we come together corporately, is to encourage each other. And not that that can't be done other times, but it's great whenever we come together and we do that. But to realize that the enemy is out there trying to find some little something that he can take and use against you. Some little something to embezzle what God has said is yours. He wants to take it away. He wants to steal it. But you know, the neat thing about it, God knew we would battle with those things. He knew that our failures and our disappointments and our weaknesses would come into play. But yet He turned around and covered that too. I mean, I don't know. It's just, when you think about that, it's just so awesome to me. I mean, what a God. 2 Corinthians says, "My grace is always more than enough for you, and my power finds its full expression through your weakness." So even when you do mess up or don't do something like you feel like you probably should have done, and the devil tries to turn around and beat you up with it, God says, "But you know what? That's when I show myself. That's when my power is good. That's when I'm the one that empowers you to continue to walk in what I've called you to walk in." I just think it's so awesome that, you know, that we let things trouble us. There's a lot of times the word that we use, you know, that just, I'm just troubled because of something, you know, but God says, hey, it's those times that I shine. It's those times that I shine. I mean, how can you then even let the thought come in your mind that I'm not capable or worthy to fulfill His plans? Because He said that I got them for you. But even when you're not capable, when you don't feel worthy of fulfilling those plans, that's whenever He shines. That's when His power kicks in. It's a win-win situation. I mean, it's just a win-win situation. But we let the devil just kind of nitpick at us, instead of putting Him in His place like Janae did this morning, okay? And realize He ain't nothing. We give Him so much more credit than what He deserves. And if we just kind of get our mind renewed to how what God has said, what He's called us to, and realizing that the devil, he can't do that. He cannot do that. I will not let him pilfer and embezzle the things that God said are mine. Okay? He can't do that. And that's where we've got to stand up and just kind of say, okay. The first thing is you got to believe in yourself. Okay? I can't remember, you know, I hear this said all the time. Maybe it was Tom the other morning in prayer or something was saying something about you can't love others if you don't love yourself. How can you not love what God made? He made you. See, when we start, and one of the problems that happens is we start comparing ourselves to other people. You know, I wish I looked like that one. I wish I could hit the golf ball like Jack Morris hits it. You know, have you ever heard, like, watch much sports, especially on individual stuff, and they say they have to play their game. They have to play within the bounds of their capabilities. And when they do that, that's when they play their best. When they start trying to play like somebody else, when they start trying to look like somebody else, when they start trying to act like somebody else, is whenever things get all messed up. See, God made us. And He didn't make any junk. And He didn't make any mistakes. And when we can hang on to that and understand that, then that's where we overcome the fact that we sometimes feel like we're not worthy. We're not capable of fulfilling His plans. Because if you feel that way, then you're basically saying, God messed up. When He made me, He didn't make me capable of fulfilling those plans. And that ain't the case. So it's a mind thing that goes on, and it's the devil that comes in and tries to take that away from you and try to make you think that you're not worthy. See, God didn't miss a thing. He made us. He made plans for us. He knew that we would have opposition in trying to fill it, the embezzler, the pilferer. He knew that we would be ashamed for not being able to walk it out by ourselves. But He also knew that in our weakness, in our inabilities to do it ourselves, that He and His power would be made perfect. See, His grace is big enough to cover everything. And you know what? Ain't nothing you did anyway that He don't know already. So you ain't keeping anything from Him. You ain't hiding anything. He already knows. He knows more about it than you know. But when we can get a mindset that this is who He made me to be, I don't have to be like anybody else. I don't have to look like anybody else. I don't have to act like anybody else. Then that's when you can walk completely and fully in the plans that He has for you. He reminded me of, I must have been 15, about 15 I guess it was, that I got saved through a youth revival thing that was happening in the rural areas and all, and it was kind of neat. And so, I mean, there was just it was a supernatural move of God, because different churches, I mean, just like all of a sudden the whole youth group would just be on fire for the Lord. And we would then load up and go to another church in another town, and we went all of everywhere. And I mean, we even went to Eustis, Florida to do a youth revival down there. I mean, kids that a bunch of us. And I can remember on that trip just having a pity party with myself, because my testimony wasn't as good as others. You know, I mean, you know, somebody, oh, you know, God just set me free from so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm thinking, you know, well, I don't know what that is. And I had that feeling that, you know, my testimony wasn't good enough. Well, that's a lie. Everybody's testimony is awesome. I don't care if you were the perfect baby, the perfect child, the perfect teenager, you know, that you didn't make any mistakes, you know, your nose never ran, you know, everything was good. The testimony of Jesus Christ becoming Lord of your life is the equalizer. It's the equalizer. And we don't have to feel like, I mean, it's such a dumb thought anyway. I think about it, you know, I wish I'd have been worse so that my testimony would have been better. I mean, you know, that's nuts. That is nuts. Oh. Second Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. The Passion Translation says it this way: we are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world, as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. That's a pretty big role to fill, okay? And you can let that role overwhelm you, or you can realize that God created you, God made you, God's plan for you will fall right into that role. And you'll be the salt and light that whatever situation that you're going in needs. I don't want to belittle this, but sometimes we just give too much credit to the devil. Okay? But at the same token, he's out there. He's real. And he's trying to cause us not to see that we got a good daddy. That he loves us. That he provided for us. That he plans for us. Who was I talking to this morning up here that said just got to kind of go through life and let it happen? I mean, whatever comes, you know? I mean, it's going to come, but he knows what's coming. And even whenever you feel like, I can't go another step, his power kicks in. And that's where we got to get to. We got to get to that place that we have that mindset that we trust him. We trust his word, okay? Because that's the bottom line. And not let the pilferer, not let the embezzler come in and take and steal what he's given us. Well, I understand that there are times that we're going to face issues, and there's, Cindy and I talked about this going to Savannah yesterday, you know, how sometimes our upbringing and our raising has taught us to think a certain way that may not be lined up with God. And lots of times we let that be wedges in our relationships, you know? And we also write that off as an excuse. Well, you just don't know what kind of daddy he had, okay? And maybe you don't, and maybe it wasn't good, and maybe there were some seeds that were sown that, you know, they need to pray for the crop failure there. Okay. But God, if we can just realize who we are, it's back to the identity thing. This is who he made us. This is who he said that we are. And even whenever we don't feel like it, he's still there. Then he helps us walk through those things in life that might have affected us negatively, that has caused us to think negatively, that caused us to act negatively. He thought of it all. He thought of it all. He hadn't missed a thing. And so if you're struggling, if you're just struggling this morning with thinking, I am just, you just don't know me. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. It don't matter. It does not matter. I love one of Cindy's nieces. Amber, she's a niece, right? Yeah. I'm not real good on keeping those straight. But anyway, one of the things that she said, we went to Savannah yesterday. Cindy's brother-in-law died several weeks back, and he was married to Cindy's older sister earlier part of his life, and she died, and he's remarried, and that called a little bit of a separation from the Trewick clan, and but because they really didn't have a kind of memorial kind of things, his son and daughter were part of the Trewick clan, and we just felt like we needed to do something, you know, just to kind of help with the closure aspect of it. And so we went down to do that yesterday, and it was just sweet. It was really great. We went out to Jan's graveside and just, you know, told stories and just, you know, enjoyed being together. And it was healing, I think, for them as well. But one of the things that Amber said is that she said, I didn't know Uncle Larry very well, but she said, we got connected on Facebook. And she said, she was kind of trying to explore or trying to get a grasp on God and who he was and that kind of thing. And she said, he started answering me. And she said, he didn't condemn my little off-the-wall comments or those kind of things. He just kept talking with her and just being there for her. And that relationship meant so much to her. And it's really changed her where she is, you know, with the Lord and all too. So listen, I wish I could stand up here this morning and say, listen, I got all this, guys, you know, hey, you know, but these, you know, that's just the way the Lord downloads in me, and usually it's things that he's trying to help reaffirm and confirm in me that you get to hear. But, you know, I just feel like if we can get to that place, and I think we're headed there, we're working on it, but to realize that the things that are out there that tries to sidetrack us, that get our attention, and then we just totally forget that, hey, wait. My daddy's got all the power to help me get through this or help me change this. You know, I don't like something about myself, and maybe it's not my own doing. Maybe it is a reflection of the way I was brought up or the reflection of something that was going on. But daddy's got the power to change that. Well, we can trust him in doing that. So, anyway. Yes?
First off, I want to tell you thank you. You always speak straight to my heart. And always tell me what I need to hear. See? Look, there we go. I have two things. This week, I was driving home from Walmart, and I got a word. I've kind of been struggling with my purpose, going along with what you were saying. And I got a word that I'm not sure how I do it, but I am to heal hearts with Jesus. Not sure where it'll lead me, but I'm super excited. Also, second thing is a prayer request. We go back to court Tuesday. The kid's mom's kind of wavering, and we're probably going to get the kids back. In a way, I'm excited. Yeah. I miss them. But I'm worried for her, so I ask that you guys just pray for peace for all of us, the kids, their mom, and Chuck and I. Just that whatever happens, we know it's God's will, and we just have peace with that. Amen. And that's all.
Amen. Let's do that right now. Father, thank you. Lord, you brought those kids into their lives, and it seems like they just kind of got taken away. But Lord, I know your heart is for those kids and to have them in a safe place, in a comfortable place, Lord, that they can call home. And so, Lord, we're asking that you go before every step of the way, Lord, every piece of paper that has to be signed or every discussion or interview or whatever has to take place, Lord God, and that you would go before and make this way smooth, Lord, and that we just trust you in it, Lord. We trust you in it, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. All right, ambassadors. That's who you are. You're worthy of that title, and you're capable of that title. And so, Lord, I just pray over this congregation this morning, Lord, that we would go forth and we would be your ambassadors, Lord, that we would, in every situation that you put us in, we don't have to run around with this big flag hollering, I'm an ambassador, you know. We're to be salt and light in sometimes just the smallest places, the smallest situations. But that's what we're to be. That's what you've called us to be, and that's what you've equipped us to be. So, Lord, I come against any negative thoughts, any shame or guilt, things that might have happened in the past that that embezzler just kind of keeps trying to throw up in our face. And Lord, I thank you that your word says when we ask forgiveness, you forgive us. And then we can go forward. So Lord, I thank you this morning that you have equipped us, you've made us, you've prepared us, you've got a plan for us, and you're there to empower us as we go. And no lie of the enemy will pilfer or embezzle what you have for us. And we thank you for it, and we give you glory and honor this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys.